You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. Miles Teller, he's a boxer now, huh? What do you want to do? Everything, Miles? You got to play every type of role there is? What, are you going to be a superhero next?
I was cracking that joke that he's on his way through, like, actorhood by officially wrecking a franchise and then, like, going on and doing a pretty awesome movie afterwards.
Wait, what was the movie he wrecked?
You're talking about Fantastic Four. Like, they totally killed that franchise.
I don't think I'm going to put that on Miles Teller.
Yeah.
But no. But he was in the movie.
True.
Right. It's like every great actor, like, through their road through life, they have to, like, destroy one great comic book franchise.
Yeah, and he did check off that superhero
book. Yeah. So he took back on some good movies,
of course,
right?
Once again, like, I wouldn't say he wrecked a superhero franchise since it was wrecked to begin with.
Semantics.
There's so far, no, like, the Roger Corman Fantastic Four is the best one. That should tell you something. But Bleed for this, yes, he's going down the path that actors do often. We're like, okay, I got to have a boxing movie. And this is his boxing movie. And he's
a tiny guy to be in a boxing movie, I thought at first.
He's a nor'easter Italian-American boy hitting all the marks. You know, well, it's not like he was going to play Mike Tyson, you know, to be fair. Yeah. But, you know, playing Vinny Pazienza, who actually I just read he legally changed his last name in 2001 to Paz, which is weird.
That is weird.
Vinny Paz. I'm not sure.
Well, Pasmanian Devil is what people called him. And the hats, they all had P-A-Z on them real big.
Yeah, but if he did that night, when did you say he did that?
2001, I believe.
Yeah. His career has been way over since then.
But, he's probably been working on it for a while.
It was towards the end of his career that he did that. Okay. But this is during, like, you know, when he was kind of going on his way up. He's like, you know, he's still relatively young, but seems like his managers, what's his name? Ted, almost unrecognizable Ted Levine.
Oh, is if like, it weren't for the voice.
Is like, look, man. Yeah, if it weren't for the voice. It's like, look, man, it puts the lotion in the basket or it gets the hose again. No, it's like, look, you lost like three fights in a row. You lost a title shot.
Yeah.
I just think you should give it up. And he's like, no, fuck you. Finds a new manager or a trainer with another almost unrecognizable Aaron Eckhart.
Seriously.
You know?
There was times where he really reminded me of Vinny from Entourage. Remember that character, like Cousin Vinny?
Totally.
I was like, dang, why didn't you just get Cousin Vinny instead of, like, transforming Aaron Eckhart?
Well, Aaron Eckhart playing a very famous boxing trainer, Kevin Rooney, who trained Mike Tyson, among many other people, but has been suffering from the effects of liking to drink too much, which comes in and out of the film's plot when necessary.
That drunk driving scene, or I guess not really a drunk driving scene, but the scene with the cops, one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie, with him and the cops.
I have a friend who did the same fucking thing.
No way.
Where they were being nice to him. They're like, if you even touch that door handle, we're going to arrest you. And he's like, whatever. And like, opened the door and they took him to jail. It's like, man, you're stupid.
Yeah.
Fish in a barrel.
So he gets back out there and he like takes it. He gets the title. Only to have a presumably drunk driver, they never say, crash headlong into his car and break his neck. Which, you know, and that's the end of the movie, and nothing else good ever happened.
No.
That's the point where he goes, he proves that perseverance, strength, and quite frankly, stupidity can overcome almost anything in combination with each other. Because he's like, I don't care. Life isn't worth living if I can't box. I don't care what the doctor says, I'm gonna train anyway, even with this fucking full-on head brace, and I'm gonna become the champion again. And it really is like, this is, spoiler, it's a true story, a famous one. What, probably the most famous and impressive comeback in sports history.
Yeah, it's different from most sports movies in that I feel like a lot of people in sports movies, they really like the redemption story, or they like the rise from nothing story, like in Rocky. And in this one, Vinny Pazienza, he's a genuinely good guy. He's a good boxer. He works really hard. Doesn't cheat on his girlfriend. He's not like a prima donna
athlete. Doesn't drink or use drugs.
And it's just life dealt him a bad hand. And when life dealt him that bad hand, he was still determined to continue to do what it is that he does.
I mean, it's there are two types of boxing movies. There's the Rise from Nothing, and there's the already there, but there's a giant downfall, and you can bring your way back from it. And this is the latter kind.
The real steel.
and then there's Southpaw, where it's like, you kind of brought this all on yourself. And
And this, but I mean, most of those, the fall is self-induced. This is the rare one in which it was like, wow, I was totally outside of his control.
He wasn't doing anything wrong. It for him, too. It's like, you're in such a shitty situation, and you had nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. You did nothing wrong.
I mean, all that being said, I think I found a lot of this kind of workmanlike, except for the performances, which I thought were super strong, especially from the supporting cast. I mean, Kieran Hines, who plays his dad, once again, like one of those things, like he's so into this. I mean, they've all got these heavy Northeastern accents, and they're all got like, oh, what the fuck, use these guys. He's like, he's that. And you're like, this is this guy who usually we hear speaking his native Irish tongue. And I'm like, wow. The training,
Nance Raider.
Like the vocal coaching sessions for that alone must have been intense. But yeah, everyone kind of loses themselves in these roles, including Miles Teller, who definitely is all in. But I think the problem may be that it really is totally a man versus himself type of film, but the conflict there never really feels like it's in any real doubt. You know, there's he doesn't really have any conflict with anyone. It's like, it's not even man versus himself. It's man versus his neck.
Yeah.
You know, and science. I don't know. I was like waiting for them. There kept being all these intimations that there was going to be more pronounced confrontations on some level between him and the other characters, but they're all almost afterthoughts in this film.
Yeah. A lot of them are, it's when he's already been training for months, and at one point his father kind of finds out, it confronts him, and in the end result is just like, all right, just keep doing what you're doing, I guess. Like, it would have been nice if in this one instance, just for the effects of being cinematic, to draw, add in some elements that maybe didn't happen in real life, since most movies are based on true stories, and they add in stuff. Like, maybe add in, at one point in his training, he does kind of fall asleep the wrong way or something. Like,
Or like he has to go back to the hospital again. And they're like, oh, now you've done it. Or, you know, for instance, I mentioned earlier, Aaron Eckhart with the prominently mentioned drinking problem he has that is never resolved in any way, shape, or form in this film. I mean, it even comes to almost a head. There's like a dinner scene where Miles Teller kind of calls him out on drinking too much. But it's not an intervention. It's just like, he's like, shut up. And that's literally the last we hear about it in the movie.
That part felt super biographical. Like, this must be the real part of the story.
I mean, maybe it was. Maybe they were trying so hard to stick to everything that actually happened, which happens sometimes when you do biography movies on people who are alive or their children are very involved in it, where they're like, no, I'm not going to sign off on this unless everything in it is dead on.
Well, yeah. I thought something really clever that they did. They blend a few times actual news footage from back, I guess it was his late 80s, early 90s when he was when this movie takes place. They blend some of these old clips, and one of the clips that they have, and they also recreate a lot of the clips, which I thought were really neat, make it look like old home video. But in one of the clips, you have the Aaron Eckhart's character kind of dancing goofy in the background. Mm-hmm. And they actually included that in the script earlier. He kind of does a goofy dance before you see that, like, videotape portion.
He's not a terrific dancer.
Oh, no. By no means. But another one of my favorite parts of the movie.
And the weird shaved, like, they gave him a monk haircut almost.
He was, like, the most handsome person with that haircut.
The hair receding to the point where it's, like, almost bald all the way down, but not quite. The problem is there are a couple shots where light's shining on it, and you can see that clearly he has hair there, you know? Like, you can see the stubble, and you're like, okay, whatever. Talk about your nitpicking.
For real.
There's easy ways to nitpick, like, the execution of the movie, because another one of those movies I saw at AFF where I had the benefit of the director Q&A being in front of me, and I almost felt like the director sort of did himself a disservice, because I was really excited for the movie based on the trailer, and I'm a big Miles Teller fan, and the director came out in the introduction of the movie, the very first words out of his mouth were, "You guys have to understand, we had, like, almost no money to make this movie."
Oh, Jesus, really?
Yeah, and I was like, what are you doing?
That's
hate self-deprecating.
You gotta come out. Didn't you just watch the movie you made? The character's like, the last thing he is self-deprecating.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. Also, Katie Sagal is in this thing, who is such a great actress. They give her nothing to do. All she does is sit around and look worried and stare at candles this whole movie. She plays his very Catholic mom who just won't even watch the fights. I mean, the only purpose she serves is during the fights. She's a cutaway to show her, like, sort of listening to the fight but won't watch it.
She has her own little, like, nook that she hides in the house.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She does. She has her altar, her little God altar, but with pictures of her son. And I'm like, are you seriously not going to give her a moment in this film? When you have such a strong performer like this?
Yeah, I even felt like there was opportunities with the character of his father to where they may have butted at heads because, you know, maybe he was philandering or having a little bit too much fun on the road.
Once again, there's an insinuation at one point. Yeah. Like, he insinuates, like, maybe his dad's philandering, like, offhand, but, like, literally just, like, an insinuation of the mildest. It's never brought up in any way by the movie before or after, and you're like, what was that?
Yeah. those are the things with the runtime at 117 minutes. Yeah, it runs too long because of moments like that. But yeah, at the same time, he could have inserted, like, have him have a confrontation with his mom and show her concerns, but you just broke your neck and you want to continue fighting. Like,
oh, yeah, she'd be good at that, too. Oh, I wonder how much of that they cut. That would suck.
It's such a shame, too, because, like I said, there's so much talent at work here. There's all these actors really put a lot of work in. And the film acts as if it's more of a character piece than it is during the fights, which it consistently cuts away during the dramatic moments to show reaction shots of these characters. But most of them are characters we don't even know that much about. We're not emotionally invested in them. And I found it frustrating watching the way they filmed these fights because of that. I'm like, will you please just film the fucking fight?
I know exactly what you mean. Most boxing movies, you get to see the action. And it's like right when the good stuff's about to happen, it's like, ooh, here's somebody in the crowd picking their nose. Or
if we're supposed to be, especially with the big fight at the end of the movie, we should be on the edge of our seats for every punch that's being thrown.
Yeah.
And the movie consistently just cuts away. And I'm like, I am interested in the fight. You should be too.
Yeah. And that's that's something that the Rocky movies, except for Rocky V, all nail. And even by the sixth one in Creed, or seventh one rather.
It's hard to keep track.
You're invested in every punch and in every fight. And it's, yeah, they nail that really well.
Actually, you know what? Weirdly, in terms of filming the fight in boxing movies, my favorite ever is Cinderella Man. I thought they nailed the shit out of how to film a boxing match in that movie. Totally great. And Warrior was pretty goddamn good at that, too. Anyway, let's go to final thoughts. Kyle, why don't you lead us off in this one?
Oh, man. I didn't come prepared. Yeah, I actually really like this. You know, the more that we're talking about it, you know, there are certain parts that, you know, could have been stronger. But the performances were great. Even if some of the characters didn't get a whole lot of time, you know, I'm going to give it 5 out of 10 weeks that I really shouldn't be doing anything, but I'm going to do it anyways.
JC?
It's funny with sports movies. Like, my favorite sport is basketball, but my favorite sports movies are baseball and boxing movies because they're.
I think it's been proven those are definitely the dominant paradigm for sports films.
Yeah, most cinematic, most romance out of those. The only sports movies in which I'm, like, involved in everything I'm seeing, and with box, I tend to be a little harder on those movies. So this one. Was really excited about it going in. The story is really fascinating. It's a little bit strays differently from the rest of the boxing pack in that, like we said earlier, not really a rise from rags to riches, nor a fall from grace. Better than Southpaw that came out a couple of years ago.
Definitely.
Not nearly as good as Creed. Somewhere in the middle, and I don't think that makes it a bad movie. But in, you know, amongst the litany of boxing movies that are out there, this may not be the first off your pile, but it's definitely one you should check out. It's worth a viewing. If you're a Miles Teller fan, seeing him flex his acting muscles and do something completely different in a different accent and just, you know, still be charming, but be charming in different ways.
The many facets of Teller.
Yeah. It's funny because, yeah, even when he's a dick, he's kind of charming. I would give this 7 out of 10 uppercuts.
Can I say one more thing?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
You know, on second thought, I'm actually going to go higher. I'm going to say 7.5 weeks I shouldn't be doing stuff for him. I'm going from 5 to 7.5, and here's why. I think when you judge it against other boxing movies, like, yeah, the fights are filmed kind of like you don't really get the action. But then I start thinking about the scenes where, like, they take the headpiece off of him, and it's like that's like a boss fight in itself. That whole scene, and I feel like the moments that really got me weren't necessarily in the ring. They were like what this guy, you know, is either doing to sabotage his career or then eventually, you know, kind of fix it and rebuild
it. Yeah, because in a way, that's, I mean, technically, as far as like script writing sense and like does this advance the story, that's a completely useless scene. Him, the doctor saying, all right, we're going to put you under. He's like, nah, just keep me awake and unscrew this thing off my head. And he's like, it's going to be really painful. And it's a really slow, drawn out scene. And yeah, it's like another fight in and of itself that he has to deal. He has to deal with all
odd
that pain.
That's probably the high point of the entire film.
Yeah,
that's that scene, because your whole audience's attention is wrapped through not shot, whatever the opposite of Schadenfreude is, where you're just like, no, oh god,
because in different from a climactic boxing scene, no music in that scene.
Yeah,
it's just yeah,
it would have been weird if it was like dun 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 dun.
And I think too, there was also two other moments, and it's like the first time he gets hit training. And then the first time he gets hit in the big fight. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, is his neck going to hold up? And to be honest, I actually didn't know how the story ended going into it. And I kind of like that, going to, you know, getting to kind of be like, oh, does it end badly? Does it end good for him? But yeah, no, actually, it's more of a 7 out of 10.
Well, I actually don't think I like it quite as much as you guys. I'll even think that, like, that part of him that you start with, like, oh, he's just too undisciplined. And then him becoming disciplined through, you know, working out with Aaron Eckhart, it doesn't really have a transition point. There's no real sense of like, oh, and this is when he started to figure out how to stop being such a wild kid. You know, it just kind of happens in the movie. And I feel like so much of that movie is that way. Like, there's chapters missing in this thing. There's huge parts of the story that would have been more interesting if they had come to a head. But nothing ever really comes to a head in this film. I'm really impressed, once again, with the performances across the board. I just found this to be, you know, I mean, like, very watchable, sure. I mean, if you're a big boxing movie fan, sure. This isn't, like, I agree. It's much better than Southpaw, although I still have to credit Gyllenhaal's performance in that, which was terrific. But it's very workmanlike for me. I was just kind of like, okay, you're like, even though the story may be a little bit different, you're actually still hitting all the same numbers regardless, and even hitting square on the jaw, if you'll excuse the pun allegory, quite a few of the cliches in the boxing genre as well. And I love the boxing genre. I mean, I love baseball movies too, but boxing movies are definitely like, I don't miss one if I can help it.
I'm more of an animated basketball movie guy myself.
Don't you start with me. We're going to be doing a commentary for Space Jam soon. So, I give this 6 out of 10 Italian strippers, because boy, there was a lot of them in this movie. Mm-hmm.
they were nice.
It wasn't so bad. That was okay. Things came to a head, so to speak. There.